This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. It's stormy outside, and the winds are howling, and it's freezing. If your home is well insulated, you will stay warm. If your windows and doors are leaky, and the insulation is poor, it will likely become cold very quickly. Your home will not be able to preserve the heat that you have inside. And in order to remain warm, you need heat, and you have to insulate the walls and plug the leaks. My brothers and sisters, the case of our iman, of our faith, is similar. The spiritual heart is home to the flame of iman, and it needs fuel to survive. Like any other flame, like any other heat, it needs fuel in order to survive, in order to continue. When the spiritual heart has leaks, the cold winds of sin and disbelief that make up the spiritual storm around us, they are able to enter it and weaken it. And once the heart is overtaken by these cold winds, it freezes and becomes hard, sometimes leading to spiritual frostbite and hypothermia, and possibly spiritual death. My friends, this is an easy way to understand it. The faith, the iman, that is inside your spiritual home right now, is a great gift and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who decides who to grant this gift to. Only Allah decides who is to have this flame of iman inside of their hearts. As Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَن يَشَاءُ, that it is not upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is responsibility for their guidance, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomsoever He wills. If Allah decides that a person is worthy of receiving this gift, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that a person is worthy of receiving this gift of iman, then He subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to that person. And if a person is not worthy of iman, of having this gift, or becomes unworthy of having this gift after having received it, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take it away. So to have iman, to be blessed with the gift of iman, is indeed a privilege and a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is an extremely valuable gift. Why is it a valuable gift? Why is it so precious? Why is it so valuable? Because this is our passport to Jannah, inshallah. If you do not have a passport, can you travel? No. You cannot travel without a passport. You cannot, you know, if you want to escape the cold that's supposed to be coming, as we're told, and you want to go to somewhere warm, you can't go if you don't have a passport. So you need to have a passport, and most countries require a visa as well. You need a passport, and for most places you need a visa too. So this iman is the passport. What is the passport? The iman is the passport that will allow you to Jannah, inshallah. And your deeds are the visa. So what do you have? Both the passport and the visa. And why is that so? Right? So sometimes people ask, well, why is that so? Why is this iman a passport to get into Jannah? Why can't you get into Jannah without the passport of iman? Or why has someone who has done good deeds without iman, without belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why can't they go to Jannah? Right? So the simple answer is that they have the visa, but they don't have the passport. So imagine you have an expired passport that has a valid visa in it. Are you able to travel on that passport and enter that country? No. So similarly, a person who has good deeds, they have the visa, you can say, but they don't have a valid passport to get into Jannah. And that is the executive order from the one who is truly in power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No court has jurisdiction over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He truly is the sole authority. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides, just like countries decide and dictate who can enter their country, who can get a visa, who cannot get a visa, who's going to get a passport, who's not going to get a passport. So the countries decide and dictate those rules. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate king, the ultimate ruler. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides the rules. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that in order to get into Jannah, you need to have iman, first of all. So you need to have the passport of iman, and you need to have the visa of good deeds. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the people, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They believed, those who believe and do good deeds. So these are the two requirements for entering into Jannah, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah Azza wa Jal is also most fair and most just. So, and this is unlike the leaders of the world, unlike many of the leaders of the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most fair and most just. So if you see something, if we see something that appears to be unfair, you can be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give justice before it's all over. Either in this world, or in the next, or in both. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just and the most fair. So there is no injustice, no wrong that is going to go unchecked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make everything fair and square before everything is wrapped up on the day of judgment. And at the same time, the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also most fair and most just. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that someone is deserving of iman, that is because that is so. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that someone is not to enter into Jannah, that is also because it is so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never wrong any of His creation, any of His servants. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. It is not possible. It is not going to happen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrongs or oppresses any of His creation, any of His servants. My brothers and sisters, my friends, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they valued iman so much that they were willing to go to any length to guard their iman. They were willing to go to any length to guard their iman. There's the famous hadith, the famous incident of Hamdalah radiallahu anhu, who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, Nafaqa Hamdalah ya Rasulullah. That, oh Allah's Messenger, Hamdalah has turned to be a munafiq, a hypocrite. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, Wama dhak? That what has happened to you? Why is this so? So he says, Ya Rasulullah, that when we are in your company, we are reminded of the hellfire. We are reminded of Jannah, as if we are seeing them with our own eyes. That was the state of their iman when they were in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would talk about the punishment, when he would talk about the rewards of Jannah, it would be as if they are seeing those things with their own eyes at that point. But he says, whenever we go away from you and we attend to our wives and children and business, much of these things go out of our minds. So he noticed this discrepancy. He noticed this phenomenon occurring inside of his heart, inside of him, that he has one feeling, one level, one state of iman in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when he gets occupied with his life, he doesn't have that state anymore. And this concerned him. This concerned him. Why? Because it has to do with iman. And he cared about his iman. So he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he tells him this. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, والذي نفسي بيده إن لو تدومون على ما تكونون عندي وفي الذكر لصفحاتكم لصافحتكم الملائكة على فرشكم وفي طرقكم. That by him in whose hand is my life, meaning by Allah, if your state of mind remains the same as it is in my presence, and you are always busy in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the angels will shake your hands with you in your beds and in your paths. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on and says, وَلَكِنْ يَا حَنْزَلَ سَاعَةً وَسَاعَةً. But, O Hanzala, time should be devoted and time should be devoted. Meaning, time should be devoted to worldly affairs, the things that you need to take care of, and time should be devoted to prayer and meditation and to building one's iman. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this 3 times. So my brothers and sisters, this is the level of awareness and mindfulness that Hanzala radiallahu anhu had with regards to his iman. He was caring about his iman. He valued his iman, and he noticed that there was something unusual about his iman, something that he found concerning. So he rushed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and shared his concern with him. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allayed his concerns. So this iman has to be protected and it has to be preserved. Otherwise, the storm of sin and disbelief can take over it and put it out. If you are not careful, if you do not work hard to preserve and protect your iman, then the storm that is going on around us, the spiritual storm of sin and disbelief, it can start entering it, weakening it, dampening it, until it takes over and puts it out. So my friends, my brothers and sisters, the question is, how can we preserve it? Brothers who are entering right now, there is space on the left side of the hall in front of the office, so please come inside. Come forward, come inside, and fill in the gaps, please. Jazakumullahu khairan. Those who are in the kitchen as well, please come inside and fill this area to the left side of the hall on the main floor. Jazakumullahu khairan. So the two main ways to preserve our iman is, number one, is to give it fuel. Like a flame that needs oxygen, right, needs fuel, iman also needs fuel. If you take away the oxygen, if you take away the fuel, the flame is going to die, right? This is simple, we all understand this. So what is the fuel of iman? The fuel of iman, meaningful salah. Right? Note the words here, meaningful salah. So salah, not which is simply robotic, right? Although, of course, if a person's salah is not meaningful, does not mean you stop offering salah. You should still offering salah, even if it is robotic. But you should try to elevate it so that it becomes meaningful. Salah which has meaning. Salah which has an effect on your heart, which makes you feel something in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that makes you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So meaningful salah. And similarly, meaningful dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's one thing to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah, which is good. I'm not saying it's wrong or bad, it's good. But it's another thing to do it meaningfully. When you say subhanallah, you think about the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say alhamdulillah, you think about gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his favors. When you say Allahu Akbar, you think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? How he is greater than all of your worries, how he is greater than all of the power that exists on the earth. How he is powerful, most powerful, more powerful than any of his creation. Right? So meaningful dhikr that touches the heart and makes us reflect and makes us think. Similarly, recitation of Qur'an. Brothers who are coming in, please continue to come in. There is space on the left side of the hall. Jazakumullah khair. Similarly with Qur'an recitation. Reciting the Qur'an properly, nicely, very important. But reflecting on the meaning and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes it meaningful. It gives strength to iman. Seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking beneficial knowledge that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good gatherings of remembrance, of dhikr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered. Being connected with the masjid, with the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? All of these things are the fuel of iman. And if you don't have fuel, you cannot have heat. So you have to be feeding your iman with this fuel, this oxygen that it needs in order to survive, in order to thrive. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ لَيَخْلَقُ فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ كَمَا يَخْلَقُ الثَّوْبُ الْخَلِقُ فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَن يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. That verily the faith of one of you will wear out with him, just as a shirt becomes worn out. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to renew iman, to renew faith in your hearts. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, second way to preserve our iman is to plug the holes. You've got to plug the leaks and you've got to plug the holes. Right? So, the sins, first of all, but also the influence of sins. Giving an opportunity to sin of to sins and temptations to enter our hearts. These avenues have to be plugged. So what you watch. And most of the I say this over and over again because many times most people, we're not paying attention to these things. What are we watching? What are you watching on Netflix? What are you watching on YouTube? What type of videos are you watching on TikTok? What are you watching on your devices? On TV? What kind of movies are you watching? What you watch, what you listen to, these things open the door to sin that weaken iman. What you read, who you hang out with. These four things, so what you watch, what you listen to, what you read, and who you hang out with, these four things will determine the state of your iman. Because those are the things that you're allowing into your mind, into your heart, where your iman resides. So are they going to be fuel for your iman, or are they going to be blasts of cold air for your iman to dampen it and to weaken it? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the adulterer, the zani, is not a believer when or while he is committing adultery. The drinker of wine is not a believer while he is drinking wine. The thief is not a believer while he is stealing. The plunderer is not a believer while he is plundering, and the people are looking to him. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he is not a believer while he is killing. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, there is a temporary lapse of iman. There is a temporary absence of iman, like power being knocked out, when a person who is otherwise a believer commits such major sins. So feeling or feeding the temptations weakens faith and resolve. So when you keep feeding temptations to your heart, it weakens the resolve and weakens faith inside your heart until these things, they leave and a person ends up committing sins. Now, iman and resolve, iman and yaqeen, they might come and go afterwards. But at that point, a person needs spiritual CPR to revive their spiritual heart. Because they're at a state where their iman is no longer able to stop them from even committing major sins. And when they commit sins, and they allow their heart to be influenced by evilness and by sins, it weakens the ability of the iman to stop them from such things. The lyrics, the words that you listen to, the types of images and videos that you watch, you know, the books, the posts that you read, the people that you follow, the people that you hang out with, the things that we do, they all have a massive influence on the well-being of our spiritual hearts. And the teachings of Islam are designed to plug the holes, to plug the leaks. If we respect the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will help to ultimately protect our faith, our iman, from being extinguished, from being put out. Otherwise, we will leave an opening for sinful ideas and doubts to come into our hearts and our minds if we don't block the avenues. And this is the Islamic way. The Islamic way is to block the means and to plug the holes. Not let the cold come in and then try to warm up. Huh? Like someone who has a leak in their house, they don't fix the leak, but they keep just mopping up and cleaning up, but the water keeps falling in. Is that wise? No. Right? So the Islamic way is to plug the holes and plug the leaks. Block the means so that you don't have to deal with the consequences. So insulate and preserve your iman, my brothers and sisters. It was said to Umm Salama radiallahu anha that O mother of the believers, what was the supplication that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said most frequently when he was with you? So she said, the supplication he said most frequently was, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O changer of the hearts, make my heart firm upon your religion. So she said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do you supplicate so frequently, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik? He said, O Salama, verily there is no human being except that their heart is between the two fingers of the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whomsoever he wills, he makes steadfast. Whomsoever he wills, he causes to deviate. So our iman, my brothers and sisters, is always at risk. And we always have to be conscious, mindful, aware of the state of our iman so that we protect it and preserve it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for strength of iman. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great gift that he has given us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamah and for strength and steadfastness in our iman and actions and good deeds. We ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide those who are misguided. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll take a couple of minutes for sunnah prayers and we'll continue, inshallah.